The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
But look at the instruction God gave us in the first service. From now till Sunday, fast. Right? Fast. Sunday is going to be a Holy Ghost meeting. Well, that's what my pastor wanted to do in this service. And I haven't tried it now, but the Lord said, you are not ready for it. So just fast from now till Sunday. And Sunday is going to be full-blown Holy Ghost service, Holy Ghost meeting. The Holy Ghost meeting is a meeting. It's just a meeting where the Holy Ghost is and directing. By the time we are done, some of you will be going with one of your shoes. Yeah. So one of us, somebody, they will carry some of you home. Just fast. I get the point. You know, I've never given this kind of instruction. You should fast and come for a program. But this is the Lord says, just fast from now till Sunday. Just fast. The much you can. Fast every day, pray every day, just come on Sunday. Invite many people over. Holy Ghost meeting all over this place. Amen. I promise you, I'll have no message. I'll just come. And if God puts in my heart, we're going to say it. I get the point. That kind of meeting, you cannot return home the same. If you need anybody that just wants to know whether there is God, wants to see where God is moving, get person on Sunday. You watch the empire. And I'm not saying people are going to fall or they're going to stand. There will just be a thick atmosphere around you. You will know that something is working inside this place. Now, when you go myself, you say, I saw God today. There will be visions and revelations. But on that Sunday, I'm going to take off the anointing upon my life and put it on you. Yes. We all prepare and come. But see what happened just 3 minutes ago? That was you, not me. I didn't plan to do all of that. But somebody came here expecting something. Somebody came here with plenty doubt. And my anointing always tries to prove that wrong. And I tell you, in the past few minutes, I've been able to say to the person and to people like that, everything that was in their heart before they came here. Yeah. And that's one way God wanted to show you that He knows you, He hears you, and you are not alone. Glory to God. Sit down. Let's teach in 30 minutes. Glory to God. So I believe. I'll just shock you this morning. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you were sick before you entered this place, just check yourself. Your healing just came. Check yourself now. Like, no. Your healing just came. You know, every time we talk here, we're not playing. One of my people, you know, last one that was announced that there was a job. That people get jobs. Right? Someone got, not a lot of people have gotten jobs, but one of them that stood out for me was it Thursday or Wednesday? Huh? Wait, Thursday or Wednesday? Oh, Wednesday, I mean Friday. Friday. Yes, somebody just, big job. I get the point. Just graduated, fresh out of school, a job, salary close, way over 500,000. Not online, physical job. It's not. I'm not saying that one is, but I'm just saying. Amen. I prayed on Sunday when you said that, I told myself, this has to be my job. And I tell you, your job is still around. The only question now, did you apply? Because whenever I speak like this, the angel of God goes forth and begins to look for the application you've dropped. Drop application in many places. So any day the word comes, the angel will begin. Some of you will get jobs that you don't need. Yeah, you will get and leave and outsource them or leave them. I normally tell my people, when it has to do with the natural, explore all your options, apply everywhere you see job, get it and reject it. That's what I'm saying. There is that pride. I got it, but I said I don't want. It's only with God that you put all your eggs in one basket. Yes, sir. With the word, explore your options. When you get it, don't like it, reject it. Tell them, I don't want. They say, why? I say, it doesn't meet my taste. Glory to God. So if you are wanting, let me get, but not so confident. You will get. You will get. Amen. This week, you have to choose between buyers. There will be many people coming to buy your products. You have to select. They will rush your products. It's the anointing. No? Glory to God. They will rush the products. You will see. Oh, you will see 3-4 people fighting over the same product. And you will tell them, it's still remaining. It's still remaining. Let me give you another one. And may God confirm the words of his servant.
Amen.
You know, the blessing upon my life is that no word falls to the ground. Every single word we speak here, somebody must testify about it. I've just observed every. And that's not man, that is God. Amen. And some of you, as I'm talking about the anointing upon the anointing, transferring the anointing this morning, one of these you trust God. For some of you, this thing I'm talking about will come upon you, such that your words will become law. Just that when it happens to you, there is a protocol around that kind of anointing. One of which is that you don't talk too much. Because if you talk too much and say many rubbish things, nothing else to say. Imagine God anoints you in a way that your word, nothing you say ever fails. Do you want that? But do you think you are ready for it? With the way you've been talking in the past 1 month, do you get ready for it? Some of you even know, because if God anoints you like that, some of you will kill yourself. Because the way you used to talk, man, my life is finished. It's to finish. Again, that's why there are some graces that God may not release unto you now, because you've not built the character for it. You know what I said? Imagine God anoints that everything you say, until you say it, in 3 seconds, it happens. You would have killed many conductors. You turn the fire, you bah! The person died. He said, no, I didn't mean it. Glory to God. Amen. Just take like say, these sniper people there, turn that, you fire them. Wow, snap off his comes down. God will help you with it. Somebody knows what I'm saying now. Well, some of you are actually ready for that flow, but you are very careless with your speech. Very careless with your speech. And in God's mercy, he won't release that stuff unto you. You know, Samuel was such a man. That was none of his words ever fell to the ground. If Samuel talks, it has happened. That's a special. Of course, I know our words work. But that one is a special grace that God gave the man. And I know some men like that. I get to the point. One of the men, you know, he said, the Lord told him, from now anything you say will happen. Mind what you say. Do you understand? Some of you know who I'm talking about. He said, mind what you say. So much so that, you know, the wife said, you know, the wife went to do family planning, that she doesn't want to give birth again. Shut up, shut down everywhere. And the man said, you're going to give birth to my, I was the only son of my mother. I want to have 8. Or something like that. The man said, don't worry. She said, I'm going to do family planning. And came back and became pregnant. And probably the doctors, they were confused because, you know, how would the baby come out and all of that? He told them, don't worry. When it was time for delivery, they were saying, let them do CS because, you know, they don't know how the baby can come out of that for the family planning. Before they could start, the baby, the family, everything came out. He said, I told you don't do CS. You know, when God brings to that point, anything you say, that's grace. So, I agree what I'm talking about. But some people are not ready for it. Because when you even curse yourself, You should look at and say, what kind of nonsense person is this? And that will be it. So how many of us are really ready for that kind of grace? Glory to God. But many of you begin to flow in that actually. Yeah, it's something God can bless you with. Yes. Well, let me see what I can do in the next few minutes I have left. So, transferring the anointing. That's what we're talking about. I said I have 30 minutes. Now I have 25. Glory to God. But you know, let's bet something. I'm going to teach for 1 hour. And you will not know time has gone. Do we bet? Well, we're just going to be fast. We're trying to keep to our time. And we'll be keeping to our time. Amen. Not because we don't like teaching for long, but because this is Sunday service. When we have special meetings, we can do all those lengthy teachings. Is that okay? Now, so I was explaining on Thursday. Remember again, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Now, and what we're trying to teach, what we started opening up on Thursday, is that the anointing can be transferred from a person to an object, or from a person to a person. Now, watch what I'm going to show you. The reason for this transfer is for execution. Maybe if I transfer the anointing, healing anointing upon a handkerchief, you know, the end point is that there will be healing. That's why God is transferring such a thing, that there will be healing, right? Now, and that's okay. But like I told you, the Holy Spirit cannot live in inanimate objects. It can't live inside a bottle of oil. Do you understand the point? It can't live in any of those things. So what normally happens when there is such flow is that the influence, maybe the influence of the Spirit can be cast upon an object for a season. Then after some time, it lifts. So you look at what God wants to do. Instead of transferring that stuff to a bottle of oil, He wants to transfer that anointing to people. Because the anointing in a man will do much more than putting it on a handkerchief. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's why what you will find, of course, there are places in the Bible where the anointing moves from people to objects. A perfect example is Acts chapter 19. You see, where the Bible tells us that the Lord, that's verse 11 and verse 12, the Lord wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, such that from him, handkerchiefs in verse 12 and apron were taken to the sick. And people that even had evil spirits, they would place the handkerchief on them, the evil spirits would disappear. That's the beautiful reality. That still happens today. I still do that today. But I'm just trying to say that what God really wants to do much more is that the grace upon a minister, apart from aside resting on a handkerchief or resting on a seat, because I can sit on this seat and then you sit on it and you get healed. But what God actually wants to do much more is that that anointing or those graces are now living inside another person. I feel what I'm saying. Now, remember, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about the anointing living in another person, it doesn't mean that the other person does not have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Ghost. What we're talking about is that some graces that God has put upon my life, right, because of my assignment, can be transferred to another, such that that person can have the same flow and the same kind of results. Are you following me? The same flow, the same kind of results. An example in the Bible is Elijah and Elisha. Where the anointing upon Elijah rested upon Elisha, he began to have similar flows like Elijah. You read your Bible, you discover that every miracle of Elijah either did it or did something that looked like it. Because they had the same flow. They had the same experience. They had the same results. These are possibilities. Are you getting the point? Another example you find in the ministry of Jesus, the Spirit and the anointing working upon him was working so much in the life of the apostles that after he had died, they said concerning the apostles, Bible said when they saw how bold they were, they took note of the fact that these guys have been with Jesus. In other words, they were saying, we have seen this kind of boldness somewhere, and now we are seeing it again. Obviously, there was a transfer of grace from the life of Jesus to their lives. Are you following what I'm saying? So we're saying that as I'm anointed now, maybe there is teaching anointing upon my life. God can take that same anointing. Now hear what I'm going to say, please. Everybody pay attention to what I'm going to say. There are certain things in ministry they are going to get by prayer. Because we cannot stretch these truths to an extreme. There are things you cannot get by impartation or by transfer. There are things you have to pray yourself into. So there are certain things you have to get by prayer. But there are certain things you have to get by impartation. If everything you use in your ministry, you got it by praying yourself into it, most times you are fatherless. The reason God places people like both us is so that certain things that are working in their lives that they broke into, maybe by prayer and all of that, we can walk into it without laboring. That's why I was giving an example in the first service. There are certain things that I do. I see some of you do. Some of you enjoy some of those graces. But then it took me weeks, sometimes years, to get into those things. But because I've gotten into it, you too will get into it. Easily like that. Because graces can be transferred. It's one follow what I'm saying. How did Elisha become a powerful prophet? Now, we do not know the process that Elijah went through to come in contact with that kind of grace and anointing. But we just know that one day, Elisha stood before him and everything came upon him. Double portion. Are you following me? So there are things you will pray yourself into. But there are things in ministry that you will get by impartation. Are you following me? And one of God, you know, I know men of God that you see strong grace upon their life. They can tell you this one is from here. Like what means we tell you, the teaching anointing he carries came from Kenneth E. Hagin. So that can be that transfer. Are you following me? There are three reasons why there can be a transfer of the anointing from person to person. Reason number one is when there is a transfer of office. When one person's office, when somebody is stepping out of an office, another person is stepping into that office, usually there has to be a transfer of the grace that one is working with. An example is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible tells us that the spirit of Elijah, by that we mean the anointing Elijah worked with, rested on Elisha. So when the source of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. So there was the spirit resting on him. But then, why did that spirit rest on him? Because already, in 1 Kings 19 and verse 16, okay, the prophet had already gone forth that Elisha was going to be prophet in Elijah's stead. Elisha was going to replace Elijah. And so because he was going to replace him, it was necessary that the grace he carried was to rest on him. Are you following me? So, for instance, when I'll be done with my assignment on earth, for instance, and someone has to take over this work, it will be very necessary that the grace I carry has to be on that person. If not, the work is going to die. Are you following me? Going to die. I gave another example in the first service. Say I finish my work here in Enugu Church, and maybe I now say, I'm finished, but I say I want to appoint a resident pastor so that I can have time to travel around some more. You know, not around the world. I mean, around our other centers and do other things and stay more focused. And in other words, it means I will still be preaching here most of the time, some of the time, but then all the pastoral duties, administrative duties, everything has to go to someone now. That's a transfer of office. It is important that the grace upon my life should rest upon that person. Are you following me? So sometimes it is some of the grace, sometimes it's everything. Amen. This doesn't replace the place of personal prayer and all of that. But I'm saying there are certain things that you work with in ministry that will not come because you did whatever. Some things are just caught. You know what I said? That things you just catch by impartation. Another reason why there can be transfer of grace, and this is very important, is when you see God gives you an assignment in a man's vision. Look at what I mean. God has given me a vision, an assignment. I'm running this ministry. If God will ever ask you to serve or do anything under me or under this ministry, it is important that some of the graces I carry has to work in your life. Now, this is why members must carry and function in the anointing of your pastor. Because every member is going to eventually serve in one office or the other around. Is someone getting what I'm talking about? And because every member is going to eventually serve in one office or another office, it is important that some of the graces... Give me Numbers 11, verse 17. Numbers 11, verse 17. Okay. Verse 16. Look at the screen, everybody, or your Bible. The Lord said to Moses, gather unto me 70 men out of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them. He said, get 70 men. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take the of the Spirit which is upon thee, and put it upon them. Why? They shall bear the burden of the people with you. It's one thing I'm saying now. They shall bear the burden of the people with you. So because these people were going to participate in whatever that God has given to Moses, they were going to serve in one office or another, they were going to help, it was necessary that they carry some of those graces. And that's why I'm going to say this to you. It will not work for you to serve under a ministry and you are not carrying the grace working upon the man. It's not going to work. You will struggle. Are you following me? You are going to struggle. You are going to struggle real time. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So, that's why I said something in my notes. I said, a son has a part in the grace working on his father because he has a part in the responsibility too. Because a son is supposed to serve with the father, it is necessary that he partakes of the grace working upon him. Is someone following me? It will not make any sense that a son is serving with a father in ministry and that son is not carrying of the grace upon his life. Let me say this to you. If you try to serve in any office and there is no grace for that office upon your life, you're going to struggle. Are you following me? And so, whenever God wants to, maybe the choir now that are serving with me, it is necessary that the anointing working upon my life should be upon them. The people in the media team, technical team, and it shows in everything. When you've collected grace, you know, I was giving an example in the first service, even how the person thinks will manifest when the same anointing is working. And that was the issue. Moses sent 12 men to go and spy the land. By then they came back, it was very clear who had the spirit and who did not have. And I was giving an example in the first service. The other 10 guys came back and said, oh, we can't take that land. You know why they were talking like that? They've not drank of the spirit that Moses carried. That's why, hear what I'm going to say, please. Hear this. It is possible to be under a ministry and not carry the anointing working in the minister. Now, hear this. It is possible to be under a ministry and that anointing upon the minister will bless you. That anointing will heal you. That anointing can promote you. That anointing, but you will not carry it upon your life. And that's what many church people are. Sir, pray for me. They get their healing. Sir, pray for me. Demons are cast out. Sir, pray for me. They prosper. That's not what God wants. Because God wants you to eventually begin to serve and do things in that ministry, it will be necessary that beyond receiving results from the anointing, you carry the anointing working. Because these guys that were sent to survey Canaan, you know, they've been receiving of Moses' anointing all the while. They saw Red Sea divide, they rejoiced. They saw manna, they ate. Water came from the rock, they drank. What else? Huh? Everything that happened, they enjoyed. Now it was time to go for missions. Go and survey the land and come back. It was clear. Joshua and Caleb said they were of a different spirit. Can I read your Bible? They were of a different spirit. What spirit? The same spirit talking about Moses. The other ones came back and said, oh, see, true, that land has milk and honey, but I swear we cannot take it. You know why they were talking like that? They've not seen Moses.
Glory to God.
Look at Moses, for instance. Moses was a one-man army. One man who stood before Pharaoh and made a simple demand, let my people go. Moses attacked Pharaoh, the armies of Egypt, all the gods. The Egyptian at that time had 10 gods they were serving. Have I mentioned this here? There are 10 gods of the nation of Egypt. There were 10 gods. They had 10 gods that worshiped. They had magicians. They had magicians. Only Moses stood before them and said and fought until the whole land collapsed. The armies of Egypt with all their chariots and all their weapons, they couldn't kill Moses. You know, the guy was entering Pharaoh's palace. He would enter. Why didn't they arrest him one day? They couldn't. Remember that 40 years before that, Moses had killed an Egyptian. So he was even a most wanted for murder. But yet they couldn't arrest him. That was Moses. Crazy spirit the man was carrying. Now, that's why when Joshua and Caleb went to the land, they said, see, we are able to take this land. These guys are like bread unto us. They had the same that Moses had. You still following me this morning? The other guys didn't have it. They said, oh, that place, that land, we know that there is Micah, but we are like grasshoppers to them. There are people that the only thing they enjoy are the anointing, products of the anointing. Sir, you prayed for me, my healing just came. Hallelujah. Sir, you know, when you spoke that I will get a job, I got a job. Hallelujah. You should enjoy the dividends of the anointing because you're a son. But apart from that, you have a portion in that anointing. That is a portion of that anointing that should work in your life. Is all following me this morning? And look at Gehazi. Same thing. Gehazi never, he enjoyed the miracles that came from the anointing of Elijah, but he didn't have it. One day they surrounded them. Chariots surrounded them. And he began to cry, my Lord, they want to kill us. And the Lord, Elijah prayed and said, Father, open his eyes, let him see. And boom, his eyes opened. And he saw angelic hosts around them. So he enjoyed angelic protection. Because of the anointing of God upon Elijah. Nothing was wrong with that. But the guy never caught it. Just one test. Go and raise the dead. They even gave him staff. And the instruction was simple. Go and put this staff on this poor, on this child. The child will rise back. He went there, he put it upon him. Once he said, oh, he did not rise, he left. And you know, I said something in the first service. I don't know why God is pushing my head off myself, but I'm going to say that. You know, when you're a leader, or you're a minister, or you're a worship person, or you're a worker, and you are not carrying the grace spoken upon your pastor, everybody will know. That is, you cannot fake. Are you following what I'm talking about? Because immediately, Elisha told Gehazi, go and put that staff. That woman said, who are you sending? Gehazi. Oh God, please, if you don't come with me, I'm not going. She was so sure that nothing was going to happen. And Gehazi proved that right. What did Gehazi do wrong? He did not catch what Elisha was carrying. Where did Elisha get it from? Elisha got it from Elijah. What was the character of that anointing? That when you insist on a matter and it fails, you continue until it works. Elijah used it when he wanted to bring down rain. He prayed and told his servant, go and check. He checked, he said, I see nothing. He said, go check again for like 7 times. So when Elisha came to that scene where that child was dead, what did he do? He stretched on the child. He continued until that child came back to life. He insisted. Guys, he didn't get it. As though Gehazi was going to learn, he now went and collected gifts from Naaman. He never had the spirit of Elijah. Because catching the spirit of a man will also mean that you learn his consecration, his way of life. Elijah didn't receive gifts. Gehazi said, oh, well, give me. He did not collect because he already has. Yeah, I don't have. We are passing through a lot. You know, we, the servants, we used to pass. It's only senior pastor that used to give gifts. So don't mind him. Give me. He collected the gift with one hand and took leprosy with the other hand. But you know, now hear what I'm going to say. The dangerous thing, or the bad thing that happened to Gehazi, wasn't leprosy. That wasn't the worst thing that happened to him. And I can even prove to you that Gehazi was later healed of leprosy. Are you following me? Are you following me? Yes, can I prove this is in the Bible? I can actually prove it. I think that's 2 Kings chapter 4. When Jehoshaphat asked and said, look, what's 2 Kings 4? So, I think it was 2 Kings 4. There was a place Gehazi was talking to the king. Was talking to the king about Elisha and all the great miracles that Elisha did. After he was done with Elisha. And do you know why I said he was healed of leprosy? A leper cannot see before the king of Israel. Are you following me? A leper could not see. But he sat there, he was talking. In fact, he was talking to the king until that Shunammite woman that Elisha raised the son from the dead came in. When she came in, he told the king, yes, look at that woman I was telling you about. Are you following me, friends? So the bad thing that happened to Gehazi was not that he became leprous. He missed out of a portion of the anointing upon Elijah. He missed his place in destiny. He missed his place in ministry. Are you following me, friends? It wasn't leprosy. You can catch leprosy and be healed. Are you following me, friends? Hear what I'm going to say. The most precious gift your pastor can give you is not healing. It's not prosperity. It's not even money. The most precious thing your pastor can give you is that he gives you a portion of the grace upon his life. So that you too can begin to produce the same results that he produces. Is someone following me this morning? Most precious gifts. But that's what many of us want. So I leave that one. Give me this other one first. Let me tell you. Do not pursue shadows and miss the reality. And so, I said the second reason why there can be a transfer of anointing is because is when there is an assignment you have in a vision. The third reason is when there is someone that has a similar assignment to the assignment that another man has. For instance, there's a man that is into crusades and all of that, and God is giving someone another assignment that looks like it. God sometimes could send this person to this other person so that the grace upon the other one could rest upon the other one. But there are principles that govern these things. And this is where I'm going to close. Principles that govern the transfer of the anointing. There are principles. There are principles. Because you can actually be around someone and there will be nothing working in your life. Principle number one is the principle, of course, this is not in isolation, but that's the first to start with, is the principle of relationship. What that simply means is that every man, check the Bible, every man that has ever received an anointing from another, right, actually had a relationship with that person. a relationship, either father-son, mentor-mentee, or role model. But this role model, I'll put a question mark there when I get to the next point. But I must be father-son. Look at Elijah and Elisha. There was relationship. Look at Moses and Joshua. There was relationship. Look at Paul and Timothy. Paul said concerning Timothy, he told him, he said, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my way of life. Timothy got things from Paul, but there was a relationship. And that's why I'm going to say, the believer who doesn't have a local church where he submits to a pastor, actually there are certain things that will not work in his life. You see what I'm talking about? Not that there are many believers that are roaming all over the place. I don't have a church. I have many churches I attend. It is that relationship that makes for that transfer. So I don't have a local church. I don't have a pastor. I have many pastors, actually. Yeah, about 7 of them. I just go from place to place. If I want to go there today, I'm going to go there. Where you day? When it was time, it was clear that it was going to go from Moses to Joshua. Joshua was committed to Moses. Elijah was committed to Elijah. In fact, now let me give you something. Do you know, now hear what I'm going to say, because I hear Corada. Do you know that even if God said he wants to put an anointing upon your life, right? And the anointing is working in a man you've never met, it will still not come upon you until there's a proper relationship. Do you know that when God told Elijah to anoint Elisha, he has never met Elisha? He told him, anoint the man to stand in your place. Yes, I never met the man. But he didn't just go there and say, okay, you know Elisha? He said, yes. Aha. God said, I should just make you a prophet in my knee down there. No. He went, he never even told him you will replace me. There was nothing like that. He just went to him, threw his cloak over him and told him to follow him. Elisha followed him for years before that thing happened. Because he knows that for him to be able to take over from him in that prophetic calling, there must be a relationship between them for that grace to flow. It's not what I'm talking about at all. Now, don't get what I'm not saying. God can tell, I can go for a meeting, we can bring an invited guest here, and the man just blesses you, anoints you, carry an anointing. But what I'm talking about, when there is a transfer of the grace he carries in your life for responsibility, for ministry and all of that, then that's a relationship. That's a relationship. Are you following me? See, that father, son, mentor, mentee, pastor, member, that's a relationship. Partly, that's why in this place we say you cannot serve in this church until you go through PGTI Basic, until you do this. All we are trying to say is that you cannot serve in this church until you become a proper son. And you become a proper son, or at least a proper member. Okay? That is when I've established a relationship with you. If you enter this church, if this is your first time in this place, you are welcome. If you come here once in a while, we celebrate you. But if you are thinking that one day the grace working in my life begin to work in your life, it doesn't happen by you just walking around. I follow what I'm saying now. Aha, it is that. So Elijah had new Elisha, there was a flow. So there's relationship. The second principle that makes that transfer possible is the principle of followership. Followership. Like I said in the first service, that's not a very good English, but we're going to use it. Followership. What that simply means is that, now, if what is working in a man is never going to work in your life, you must follow the man. It is a man you followed well that can receive of the grace. That's why I mentioned role model. There are people that you can carry that are not working upon their life, and you might never have met them. That can happen. But if that happens, it means you must have been following the person very, very well. Sometimes through books and tapes, and I'm coming to that very shortly. But there must be proper followership. So that you remember in this church, you're not following well, not to work your life. Let me give an example, perfect example. Like I did in the first service. How did God decide that it was going to be Joshua that will carry Moses' anointing? Some of you think that God just said, well, who am I going to pick? Where is that guy? I like this Joshua Paul. I like him. That's not what happened. In Exodus 32, verse 15. Please get that on the screen. Give me like a living translation yourself so that it will be easy. Exodus 32, verse 15. Are you ready? Are you still here? Glory to God. At least at this one, you have to strengthen yourself. But most times when afternoon begins to come, people begin. Are you awake now? Let's be together. Moses turned and went down the mountain. He held in his hands the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. These tablets were God's work. The words on them were written by God himself. So this was when Moses went to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. Even if you read casually, you would have thought that Moses just went there by himself and got it and come and came down. But not exactly. See the next verse. When Joshua heard the boisterous noise of the people shouting below them, he exclaimed to Moses, "It sounds like war in the camp." So who was with Joshua, with Moses on that mountain? Joshua. So as Moses was on the mountain, collecting, this was as far back as Exodus. As a small boy, he followed Moses to the mountain. In fact, by the time we go to chapter 33, verse 11, you find out that even when Moses leaves the tent of meeting, in fact, even when Moses was talking with God face to face, Joshua was there. Only him. Look at this. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses will return to the camp, but the young man who assisted in Joshua, son of Nun, will remain behind the tent of meeting. So he will stay there and observe as God is talking to Moses face to face. Are you following what I'm saying now? He was not seeing God though, but at least he was seeing Moses respond. So he would just sit by the side and watch and watch and watch. So when Moses would go out to go and address the people, Joshua would stay back inside the place, soaking the thing up. In our own context, we would say he would be there praying in tongues. What you did to Moses, do to me, Lord. Are you following what I'm talking about? It's been a long history of followership. So when it was time for the anointing to be transferred, it was clear where it was going to rest on. The anointing is intelligent. He knows the person that follows. Are you following me, friends? So that is it for proper followership. So that's Moses. I can give you many other examples. You have to follow. You have to follow properly. Elijah followed Elisha for long. If when he wanted to leave, when he wanted to, be taken away by the chariot of fire and all of that, the instruction that came to him was, if you see me. So everywhere they were going, he was following him. From Gilgal to Jericho, everywhere. Because he knew that if you will have what a man have, you have to follow. And there's a way to follow. I'll just give you two instructions on how to follow. First way to follow a man properly, if you're going to carry what he carries, is you follow by soaking up his teachings. The spirit that a man carries are in the words that he speaks. So any man, you stay on his teaching. You stay on his teaching for long, learning the words from him. The chances are the grace working upon his life will come upon your life. Because Jesus said unto them, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life." So words are spirits. Are you getting what I'm talking about? What did I say? That's why I said it first. I want to say it again. One of the ways a pastor ensures that the grace he carries rests on his members is by teaching for long. Lengthy teachings. Not this Sunday service. Sunday service is short. Lengthy teachings. 3-4 hours. Let me say this to you. It's not just about what are they saying that we're not hearing. Because you are there. Acts 1 verse 3. How did these disciples carry the grace working upon Jesus? Jesus taught them for long. This was the last teaching he had with them. Last teaching session. How long did it last? 40 days. Look at that. To him also he showed himself alive by his passion, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them. 40 days. And he was speaking to them the things pertaining to the kingdom. He wasn't appearing to them every day. He would come and say, hello. He was talking morning, afternoon, night. 40 whole days. Now, that's why I said to you, A pastor who just does 10 minutes, 30 minutes message, they may have miracles. They may have results. People can be testifying every minute. But you know, the grace upon that man will never be in those guys. How did Jesus raise his disciples? This is it. How did Paul raise his people? This is it. Paul took some people into the school of one Tyrannus and was teaching them every day for 2 years. Do you remember that? Every day. That's Acts 19. For 2 years. Acts 19 verse 8. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every for 2 years. I get the point. He went in and spoke. That 3 months, he spoke for 3 months in the school of, in this place. Go to verse 9. When that, go back there. When diverse were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily. How many days? How many times in a week? Daily. In the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10. This was continued by the space of 2 years. By the time he was done, those guys were not ordinary men. How to catch? That's why you see technology is helping. You stay on a man's tapes, you read his books, you are catching his spirit. The Lord may say how he caught the teaching girls upon Kenneth here again. He said he was, you know, he's a Ghanaian. He was soaking the tapes. Hey man, you soak the tapes. He was soaking the tapes. He was reading the books. He said for years. He said he would listen and listen. He would sleep. The thing would play. He would wake up. You know, he said he goes to a time. One day, he was doing that. He sensed something jump from that radio set into his life. He said, and he heard the Lord say to him, from now, you can teach. Yes. Now, he stayed on those messages. That's why if you're in this local church, and that is, you really want to carry whatever, you must stay on the message for long. Because if you do that, you find that they'll become three. Now, I'll give an example in the first service. Some of you, okay, let me do that again. If you're a writer here, let me see your hand. Use your reason. If you're a writer. I didn't say if you can spell your name or if you can write things. If you're a writer, let me see. I may be giving jobs now, if you're a writer. If you're a writer, you're at least a reader. Or, is any writer who's not a reader? Eh? Report the person to me. Now, writers are readers. Do you observe? If there is any particular author, you read his material too much, you will write like him. Have you observed that? You will sound like him in your writing without even knowing. And I said in the first service, if you read my books thoroughly, you can already see the person I read. I won't tell you. What you can already see. Because you don't plan to do it. Once you are reading it, you can see. And what is happening is that as you are reading, feasting on that material, something is happening to you. Are you following me this morning? Something is happening to you. You're learning. God's word is entering you. Shout a big amen. Amen. So you cannot actually catch the spirit the man is carrying if you don't follow. How to follow? Soak up the messages. Eat it. Eat it. Are you following me? What did I say? Shout it. Shout it again. Glory God. Not food. Shout it again. Amen. And so you notice, so that's the first thing, because the words of a man is the spirit of the man. Right? You know, Ezekiel, I think that's Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, as he spake unto me. Yes, I'm right. He said, the spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. As he was speaking, because as you are hearing me, something is entering you. That's the principle right there. The spirit entered me at when he spoke to me. Go to verse 1. Previous verse, just verse 1. He said, and he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. So he stood up to listen, and the spirit entered me when he spoke unto me. So whenever you are hearing, and I keep here for long, do not just think that you are hearing the things I'm saying. Something is entering into you. And as I tell you, this year there will be many immersions. Many long teachings. There is no fact. That's the beauty of such meetings. But when you sit with me like that and I'm talking, I'm teaching for 7 hours. Now, I said it first, I want to say it again. Do not think I am not aware that you want to sleep. I'm aware that you want to, I'm aware you're going to sleep in the meeting. But you know why I'm not bothered? I'm teaching for like 7.5 hours. And so if you sleep, you will wake up, you will still catch me talking. And sometimes, you know, I talk, when I'm teaching like that, you know, with no emotions on my face. Because we're talking, I'm not bothered by how you are looking. But I've said it many times, the greatest spiritual warfare you fight when you're teaching for long is the peace of the people. Well, I'm believing myself, when are you going to round up this message? What are you saying that we don't, we know. You know, when I started teaching for those days, I was just make a point, and I'm listing over 14 scriptures to back up the point. And some people are like, sir, we agree. Don't try to convince us. We already believe. We are correct. Well, as a teacher, I have to ignore their faces and just keep doing what they're doing, because it's not just that they're hearing you. Something is entering them. So now, that's the first principle. That's the first way to follow. Another way to follow is to serve. Serve. Service. So two things, any man you are following, you must be listening to the man. You must be serving with the man. When this is happening, you are making yourself available to partake of the spirit that the man carries, or the anointing. So serve him. 2 Kings 3 verse 11 talks about Elisha, as the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. In other words, he served Elijah. He served Elijah. He served him. Numbers 11 verse 28 introduces Joshua as Moses' servant. The servant of Moses. Are you following me? Are you following me? The servant of Moses. John 4 verse 8 tells us of how Jesus sent 12 of his disciples to go and buy him food. That's always very interesting when I read it. So Jesus was hungry. Give me like NLT. Jesus was hungry and he sent 12 solid men to go and buy food. So imagine 12 of them just walking to a restaurant, onto your shop. 12, not 2, 12. So what did you guys come to buy? We came to buy rice, fried rice and chicken. It's how many? One plate. Say for who? For Jesus. So why is all of you start coming? He sent us. That's how the man is. Amen. You know, he was teaching them to serve. If you serve, so the disciples, you know, there's a training that, you know, my dad is taking us through. You know, before God, this is a big digression, but before God begins to hand over men for you to look after, he must give you things to look after. The disciples served tables before they can lead. They could lead men. Story for another day. If you get to, I think it was Matthew 26, they met him and said, sir, where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover for you? And when you read that, it looks like a spiritual assignment. No. The question of where are we going to go and cook for you? You're trying the banquet, the Passover, whatever. So the disciples will go and cook. Get a room, cook. They were serving with a man in ministry. That service positioned them. I don't know anyone who actually benefited from a man's anointing, I mean, carried a man's anointing in the Bible, that didn't thoroughly serve under that man. I don't know anybody like that. Are you following me? You have to serve. That's why you're in church here. One of the easiest ways for the grace upon this life to work your life is find yourself a spot and serve. Yes. And serve well. And the grace will start working. That's why I was saying, when you allow God's grace upon our life to work in your life, one of the things you're going to notice is that you can go to evangelism. That should be the right thing. When you are done preaching and ministering to people and invite them to church, once I start talking, they will say, he sounds like you. It should be like that. Not in the word, not just about voice. Your voice cannot sound like my voice. But I'm saying in expressions, in results, in content. But it comes by service. Amen. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came just and asked, where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you? So they were actually the ones preparing meals. You see what Paul I'm saying? When he wanted a donkey to ride on, he sent them to go and get a donkey. They were his errand boys. Some of them were in sanctuary cleaning. Some of them were in drama team, others cinematography, others were singing. He just had them. But it was in those moments that they were preparing themselves to partake of the grace they had carried. Are you following what I'm saying now? So that tomorrow, if we pick you and say, want to go and start a cell, the cell you are starting, or want to go and start a church, can't handle a church, or handle whatever, the church or whatever you are starting should not be different from this center. The same grace. Are you following me? Now, two more things. The next thing that is going to help you partake of, in the first principle that helps partake of the anointing the man is carrying, is proximity and availability to the anointing. There's a basic principle in God's word that when you hang around the anointing and you handle that proximity well, it will rub off on you. Listen, I said, is a very simple statement, very powerful. If you handle it well, because there's a danger. If you handle it in dishonor, or you begin to look at the man somehow, that anointing will rise against you and kill you. That's what killed Miriam. Are you following what I'm saying at all? In fact, this thing I'm telling you is the reason it looks like God moves in families. Go and check your Bible. There is hardly any family where God picked a prophet that there is no other prophet from that family. There were other prophets in that family. Look at Moses. Who was his interpreter? The high priest was Aaron. What was the relationship between Moses and Aaron? They were cousins. Who was the high priest? Aaron. Who was the leader? Moses. Who was the prophetess? Miriam. What was the relationship? Miriam was Aaron's sister. Moses' cousin. Same family. Because if you have a closeness to the anointing and you handle it well, it's rubber for you. That is why I'm going to teach you something. Always learn to be around. You see, and I was saying it on Thursday, we are taking a meeting, so please appear and stay there. Let me tell you, when you are available and around the anointing, things are entering that you don't know. That's why in ministry, I'm always careful about people who are never around. People who always have excuses not to be around. People who are always missing things, I don't take them serious. Remember that scripture we saw on Thursday? Acts chapter 1. Look for that verse. When they wanted to pick someone to replace Judas. Were you on Thursday? They wanted to pick someone to replace Judas. Peter was like, you see, we want to pick someone to replace Judas. We cannot look into, there were 120 in that room. We can't look into all of your spirits to know who has fire and who doesn't have fire. We cannot check who has a good heart and who doesn't have. We don't see those things. But we have something we can use to check. Anyone that has been around from the first day till now is fit. Very strong check. Because there is no way you would have been around from the first day till now that your life would have contacted something. Now, this is why, again, in church, it's not only about how long you've stayed, but listen, how long you have stayed matters. And how consistent you've been matters. If you are someone that any small thing, you always have a reason to be absent. I can almost tell you that what you cannot partake fully of this grace. It's not possible. My spiritual father told me, and sincerely, not just that he said it, that's how I read. Do you know, let me give an example. Look at some people that are working with me in ministry today. Some of them, I didn't raise them in a church setting. How that? I didn't have a church. How did I raise them? Sometimes, I'll just be at home, they will come to the house, we'll just sit down and be talking. Just because they're around. Just because that some of those guys will go do big things. When I mean big things, I mean big things. Miracles that you'll be wanting. I know this one was still around. I do it to my ministers now. This is why you see me, I'm always in church. I said it and I'm saying it again. Any pastor who is always traveling is actually robbing his members. Except that pastor has been able to transfer his spirit on many, such that others can be blessed. Because if you are not always around that anointing, there is a limit to what they can carry. Is someone following me at all? Read with me, everybody. Go to NLT so I can read together. You live in translation. Come on. Do you want to talk now? Go read again. For Judas, from among the men who were with us the entire time we were stay here. You know, I showed you on Thursday. They traveled with Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, we carried them. Everywhere. And Peter is saying, if you did not join that entourage with us, you cannot replace Judas. So the one that has an excuse, I woke up that day. And in fact, when I woke, I wanted to come home. I still looking for my belt. I look for this belt everywhere. And I said, will I now come without belt? Let me stream online. Are you following me? That's why even if you're streaming online, there are opportunities to be present that you should not miss. One, if I come around your city, anywhere close to your city, appear. You know what I'm saying? When there are national meetings, appear. Spend money and come. I understand this principle I'm giving you very, very well. That's why anything I like, I go there. I still remember to go and see my pastor. You know, sometimes, the first time I took my wife to go see my pastor, first time, we were not even married then. We were just in courtship. So we just, of course, that wasn't the first time I was speaking to her anyway. They've been talking, he oversaw our courtship period. I've seen this for a reason. So I didn't just carry one girl to go and tell my pastor, "Pastor, look at her. This is the girl." I didn't do that too. I get to the point. They've been overseeing our courtship period, praying. In fact, the first day I thought of being in a relationship with my wife, I told my pastor. First day I thought of it. Say, "Sir, there's a lady I'm considering." He said, "What's her name?" Say, "Her name is this." Say, "You now can pray." First day I thought of it. So after the whole prayer, I now asked my wife out. And I now said, "I'll give you my pastor's number, my pastor's wife's number." So my pastor's wife said, "You are going to pray for 3 months. Supervise our own prayer." She prayed. We ended the relationship. The first day we went to see, one of the privileges my dad gave us, after we went, did the program, the father's program, he said, "Come to the house at night." And we ate dinner together. And there, it wasn't about the dinner. Don't stop licking your mouth like that. Because with that kind of dinner, you can't even eat it well. But I tell you, now don't just, I'll whisper this to you. There was chicken in the food you couldn't eat. How do you want to do it? So these people have water. I didn't do that. Because it wasn't about the food. I cherished that moment. And what are we doing? He was just talking. We asked questions. We talked. He just said, we're just talking. Different things. He was there. Mom was there. We're just talking. Those opportunities are priceless. Are you following what I'm saying? Be around though. So that you don't be wondering, this one pastor is always going to Lagos. Can't he stream the program? I can't. The phone is not working. I don't have data. Data is not very expensive, sir. Be around. I get what I'm saying. Be around. And I can show you this a lot in the Bible. But like I said, I'm round up with this because I'll continue with this on Thursday. Okay? I'll start with this rather on Thursday. Because the Lord said to me, "I need this service on Thursday." Amen. I said it in the first service. So, be around. Many scriptures prove that. As a matter of fact, the first time Jesus called his disciples, that's Mark 3 verse 14, the Bible said he called his disciples that they might be with him and that he might send them. The first thing, you want to come and stay with me. So, the first time he was invited, he didn't tell them, "All of you should come, you go and preach all over the world." He said, "I want you to come and stay with me. After staying with me, I will send you." That's spending time. Look at how Jesus raised disciples. He was with them. So, do you see why, as a pastor, one thing I owe you is to be around? Now, the church is big. I can't allow all of you to come into my house. So what do I need to do? I have to be here. I have to be around you. You have to be around too. I'm here today now. After service, you guys are going to go. Some of you don't realize that by 6 that you're already at home, I'm still here. Sometimes I leave here by 8. Sometimes after 7. Different times. I'm here. Tomorrow is Monday. Usually, I rest. That should be the normal thing. On Tuesday, I'm going to be here. And I'm going to do counseling in the afternoon. After the counseling, I start with School of Healing and Answers in the evening. On Wednesday, by 12 o'clock or by 1 o'clock, I'll be in IMT. I'll minister to them. When I'm done with those mentorship class, I come back here in the afternoon to counsel some of you. After I do that, I return to Essex in the evening to minister to some of you again. On Thursday, I'm going to be here. On Friday, we just opened up your next mentorship class now. Amen. So on Friday, 4 p.m., I'll be in your neck, ministering to them. Saturday, I'll come here, just stand around, watching you guys walk, talking with people. What do you think I'm doing? I just want to be around you. So that there are things you pick by observation. You pick up by correcting that person. You pick, you know, sometimes correction a father gives when he's around is not with words. Just look at you, you faint. Was your father like a biological father? My dad doesn't. Maybe they're in the parlor. He's with a guest and you are there. I don't know how they're raising these Gen Z children these days. You say you don't want him to feel bad, mental health. My father's eye will destroy your mental health. He will just turn and look at you. The way you will run inside, you might write an apology letter just with his eyes. Now that's the presence of a father around. He puts you in check. And this thing is everywhere. My parents were interested. You know, we are pastor's children. So sometimes they are in church, they are doing events, they are sharing food. And you've gone to collect food that your mates are collecting. If they look at you, as those days, if they are sharing food and my mom is mounting a stand, I don't like going to her. Because my own will be small. Others will favor me because I'm do you understand? But if you go to her, they will put small food. I don't go there. Well, growing up, I was seeing people, they can be there, they call their parents to the high table, and the child goes there. Jesus, I don't know the kind of woman, my dad will, Jesus, from where he's, your father, I thought was a brutal man. Loving. Brutal. Yeah. Friends of my father. One day, he was going with my brother, and they passed someone, and my brother didn't greet that woman. He didn't say anything. They walked as far as I can almost tell you that they were almost getting to maybe a dozy or something. So he said, "Why did you not greet that woman?" He said, "I didn't." He said, "Go back." He ran back. By the time he met the woman was trying to open the door. He said, "Good afternoon, ma." The woman said, "I've said that he sent you." I said, "Yes." That's what I'm going to say to biological fathers. Be around. You owe your children your presence. Everything is not money. Because we are talking about the anointing of a father in the spiritual now. Even naturally. If you want your children to think like you, to see life from your perspective, to reason, just be around them. Everything is not formal education. Just be around. Let them come back and see you. Let them see you around. Everything is not sending, transferring money. Everything is not video call. Video call can never replace physical presence. That's why there are relationships. You never met the man, you never met the woman. They guys are talking only on video call. You don't know the person, you know. You don't know that person. You actually don't know that person. I'm not saying you're not in love. I'm saying before you marry, demand that the person will come down and you people will go around, move around for like 3 weeks. I don't say she live in the same house. Do you understand? Just move around so that you can know the person. Take care very serious. Because if father has to be around, that's how graces are transferred. Because even people you've dated for 10 years physically, you still marry them and you are shocked. Say, Jesus, is this you? Not talk of someone that you guys are just on phone. And that's why people raise their children. He said, I want to just be where I am hustling. No. Let me say this to you. I don't know why God is leading me here. I should have grounded up. There is something the presence of a father does to a child. You know what that thing is? Confidence. A child that his father that stands around his father is always very bold and confident. Take something I told and keep it somewhere. I'm not downplaying the presence of mothers. Okay? But I'm saying, if that, don't you know that there is an age a young boy gets to? Women don't mean anything to him again. Are you aware of this? There's an age a young boy, say 16, 17, 18, 19, may have one, he will talk three. But even if the father is on the sick bed and turns his head and says, Ike Choku, sit down there. He will sit down there. That's the father's presence. Are you what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if mother has run up and down, it's make sure you can make it today, you know, I get back to you. The father just has to lie down and say, Bia, Ike Choku. Is it not who the mother is talking to? Daddy, I'm sorry. That is how God made it. Imagine fathers that are absent. Don't be an absentee father. Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't be like that. And that's why, as your pastor, I'm not an absentee father. I'm around you at least spiritually. I'm always here. And God help me, I will always be around. I always be around. I heard Bishop Edeko say he has never spent any Sunday outside Canaan land. Always around. Always, every day you go there, you see him. Now you cannot have more invitations than Bishop Edeko. But he knows his job. It's all following me this day. Be around. And that's why I'm around. And if I am around, you must be around. Don't be that absent. Every small thing, pia, pia, pia. I say, I have somewhere to go to. I woke up, my eye is telling me, be around here. If I come here on Thursday, let me see you. If I'm here on Sunday, let me see you. If I come here on Saturday, let me see you. Because if the tap is running, the bucket should be ready. If the giver is not tired, the taker should not be tired. Are you following me? All you have to do is to keep your heart in honor. Because most of the time you are in privilege with the anointed like that, you might get so familiar and all that. Make sure you don't do that one. Just keep your heart in honor. You'll be blessed. And final thing for today, desire. 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 When there is desire in your heart for a particular grace, you're going to have it. You see, how did Elisha carry what Elijah was carrying? He had strong desire. He said, I want a double portion of what you carry. Yes. That was actually the major thing that distinguished Elijah from other prophets. Because other prophets, you are still in the school of the prophets. But he had this strong desire. So I could just imagine that time he saw Elijah raise that dead child. He said, Father, me too. Do with me what you did to this man. Are you following what I'm saying? And in case you are here, one of the things you must be doing here whenever you come to church is desire the grace that your pastor carries. And in case you don't desire any grace your pastor carries, there are two possibilities. Either you are no longer in honor because when you came here newly, you are desiring. Or this is not your church. You know what I'm saying? Because if you are submitted to a man, there should be some things that are from him that you want to carry. If it's not there, if sincerely you don't, there's nothing that interests you about this man of God, don't come. No, just leave. I'm not going to feel bad. Now, for real. I'm not going to feel bad. Because I know people I'm sent to. Do you get what I'm saying now? But if I still issue desire, how he explains the Bible. I tell you till now, my pastor teaches and my jaw drops. It's not just about the things he's saying, it's how he's saying them. A pastor will minister to us here very soon. And I tell you the truth, he can stand you up for 2 hours talking. And you will start. Such grace. My pastor will pass, he's in their church. He will tell you, every time he pastors, sometimes 90% of the members are workers. He has that thing to make people committed. I convert those things. I see that, I say, wow. Man is anointed. The greatest utterance I've seen face to face in my life is my pastor. If you're my pastor, pastor has mighty utterance. He always has what to say. He can be talking, back to back for like 3 hours. I see it and I say, Lord, utterance. And you convert those things. Elijah says, I want, Mr. Elijah, I saw you multiply that woman's food. I saw you this. You see that in your eye, you also want it. Once I that desire, there will be a transfer. On Sunday, Holy Ghost meeting, we are going to have many blessings. So just fast every day, pray 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour, just fast like that. You know, on Sunday, we're going to have a full Holy Ghost meeting where there will be transfer of grace and all of that as God leads us in the first service and in the second service. But keep your heart desiring. I got what I'm saying? And this desire never stops because God will keep adding to your pastor and your father. So there will always be something to convert. I get the point. Always something to convert. When I went to my dad's ministry and I saw a building standing in 59 days. They built that building, started and packed in 59 days. That is the finger of God. No. That is the hand. No. That is God. Without any stress, 59 days. And they didn't say we'll finish in 59. They were not trying to beat any record. They were just building. One confession. The work will not stop till the building is done. They worked morning, afternoon, night. Money kept flowing till the building was done. Now when you see those things, you put your hand on your head and say, me too, Lord. Yeah. How did Shabbat go break into the miraculous? This thing I'm sharing with you now. I heard Bishop Waloke say, he used to travel to Shabedeko those days. Bishop would just preach. Bishop Waloke would do the miracles. So one day they came back and he was watching a man, I think it was at Bishop Idahosa, watching him work miracles on TV. And he just knelt down there. Bishop Waloke said, throughout the night, every time he comes to check on him, he was just saying one thing. Me too, Lord. Just praying throughout the night. Lord, me too. I don't have a blockhead. Me too, Lord. And he said that until the next morning. They went to the crusade again. Blind eyes, deaf ears. When desire meets impartation, when expectation meets impartation, the results are endless. So as you are serving here, you are following well, you are doing all of that, please desire this thing. Moses knew the ways of God. The Israelites knew the acts of God. Don't be in this ministry and all you have stories of the acts of Papa. That man, he touched that person, his ear opened. Even myself, I came into that church broke. He prayed, I became a millionaire. That should not just be your story. Learn the ways too. Are you following me, friends? Learn the ways too. Everything is not, when I came to that church, sir, I was broke. That will be your story, actually. You are going to be rich. I carry the anointing. So you receive of the anointing. Are you following what I'm talking about? But beyond that, something should be working in your life. Because this anointing is not created to stay inside here. It's supposed to move from here to different people. And I tell you, there are some of you that are already carrying portions of that grace. And much more will be distributed. Every time we have meetings, we release much more. So that wherever you stand, I cannot imagine you standing in South Africa. You are doing a walk. And when people enter there, and people said, this is really platform of grace because it feels like I'm in Enugu. Yes, the grace has gone. I get the point. That when someone has deafness, say, you are deaf. Oh, come. That's something I collected from my pastor. We open their ears very easily. Very easily. Your season has come. Someone said, I don't know how to understand Bible. He said, don't worry. Give me 5 minutes, your ears will open. It's grace. Do not be one of those people who stays around the minister and all they have are testimonies of breakthrough.
Now, do not also be who, someone who doesn't have such testimonies. There should be breakthrough testimonies. And I celebrate, I enjoy it. But beyond that, I want you to not just be a collecting point. I want to also be a channel. Don't just be a receiver. Be a channel. You receive, you enjoy, you transmit. That's why all these testimonies I was hearing this morning, I love them. So I prayed for someone, there's another one on my mail. I prayed for someone that had ulcer and blessing God well. I love hearing such things. Because as it is working here, it's working in your life. That is the proof of my pastoral ministry. Were you blessed this morning? Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.